Hour number two is underway. It is 10:08. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on this, the 12th morning of the month of October in the year of our Lord 2015. Big news over the weekend on the local level, obviously, is Tamir Rice, the shooter of Tamir Rice, I should say, Timothy Lohman, police officer responding to the gun call at Cadell Park and Recreation Center in November of last year. Officer Lohman, justified, reasonable in the decision to use lethal force in that situation. So says not just Officer Lohman's attorneys, so says not just the Cleveland Police Patrolman's Association, but so says independent investigators, independent review teams, including one former FBI agent and also a prosecuting attorney in Denver, Colorado. So they had no connection whatsoever to the case here, no conflict of interest. The ultimate objective arbiters of this case requested by prosecutor Tim McGinty, by the way. Now that Tim McGinty has his information from not only the Sheriff's Department investigation, which he requested, also from the Ohio State Highway Patrol, their investigation, now these two independent investigations, he's got all the evidence and information he needs to declare, to take this before a grand jury, present his case, in which a grand jury would obviously say there is no basis whatsoever to indict or charge this individual officer with any kind of a crime. He's still sitting on it. He says he will not let this make his decision, quote, not reaching any conclusions, end quote, based on these expert reports that he requested. The question then becomes, why did he even request them if he's not going to use them and present this to the grand jury? At this stage, he says there is still no timetable for presenting the case to the grand jury, and that the evidence gathering continues. He also says he is going to continue to invite Tamir Rice's family to offer input and evidence while this case is prepared. It is a staggering, staggering statement. All right, joining us now to talk about this case in much more depth from a forensic point of view is our friend Dr. Ron Martinelli, a nationally renowned expert. He is a forensic criminologist, the only police expert in the country who's also a certified medical investigator at the physician's level. He joins us now on the Bob France Authority. Dr. Ron, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing? The sun's just coming up here in California.
I bet it's a beautiful day, but you know what? It's a pretty nice one here as well in Cleveland, Ohio. Dr. Ron, I just spent a good deal of time talking about this case with Steve Loomis, but Steve, of course, is the president of the union, talked about the case as they understand it from their perspective, but I want to talk to you about it from a forensics level. First of all, how often do prosecutors, like in this case, it's Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Tim McGinty, request an investigation to be conducted by an outside firm, perhaps one such as yours, in a case like this, and when they do, how do they use that information, Dr. Ron?
Well, sure. To answer your first question, Bob, the independent review concept is a relatively new concept, so it's infrequently used. However, it was definitely used in this case, and, you know, of course, I've written about the need for credible independent review, it's coincidentally in the Law Enforcement Executive Forum. It is this month's one of their cover articles. So it's important to do that. Now, your next question is how would he use that type of information?
Right.
Well, he'll use that information to consider the totality of circumstances as determined by three different investigations, the sheriff's office investigation, the one by the Colorado prosecutor, and the one done by the former FBI agent. When he brings his case to the grand jury, so each investigation brings something forensically and investigatively to that table.
So, Dr. Ron, when an investigative team presents its findings then to the prosecutor, I guess I'm just kind of trying to figure out why the prosecutor is saying he's not reaching any conclusions based on them. Isn't that why he asked for them, so that they can actually provide something that from an outsider's perspective that maybe he can't because he's too close to this, or his own investigative teams can't do? Why would he suggest, hey, I'm still not ready to move on this. This doesn't help me reach a conclusion.
Well, you know, I don't want to speculate on what prosecutor McKinney's methodology is going to be prior to the grand jury. But I'm also very familiar with Cleveland. I've worked several cases there. And I will tell you that, you know, just from all accounts in the media, this is a very high-profile case. You know, within the public, it tends to be a controversial case. And I think the prosecutor is trying to figure out, you know, what he's going to do next, because apparently, according to what I've read in the media, both of the independent reviewers have stated that there was it was a justifiable shooting. So don't forget what the prosecutors, and I think the public sometimes does not understand this process. What is the purpose of the prosecutor? The prosecutor determines whether there's criminal culpability here. The prosecutor has nothing to do with any, you know, subsequent civil case that might arise from this incident. His determination is solely, was there any criminal behavior on the part of anybody involved in this particular case? And of course, because we have an officer-involved shooting, the focus tends to go towards, was there any criminal culpability on the part of the involved officers?
We're talking with Dr. Ron Martinelli, a forensic criminologist, and you can follow Dr. Ron and read the articles that he is referencing as well on drronmartinelli.com. You mentioned the civil case, which brings into play here the family, as I mentioned a few moments ago. And I talked to Steve Loomis about this too. Prosecutor McGinty has invited attorneys for Tamir's family to offer input and evidence while a case for the grand jury is prepared. Now, we are not talking about a civil case here. We are talking about the criminal case, the potential criminal charges filed against the officer in this case. Is it normal protocol for the family, a grieving family member, to consult with and contribute, quote-unquote, input and evidence to the prosecutor when criminal charges are being considered?
Well, that's a good question. Let me see if I can help you and your listeners with this. You know, the prosecution or any investigation, the definition really is a search for the truth. And as I've discussed in my articles and in my many talks on this subject, transparency is extremely important. And I think what we have to do is parcel out the words of the prosecutor, and if he is inviting them to provide any evidence that they might have, then that's a good thing, because family members can become percipient witnesses in a case, and they may have, or to the contrary, may not have any evidence that shows any exculpatory or innocent behavior as opposed to any inculpatory or criminal behavior. So I think by reaching out to the parents and the family members, it does a couple of things. Number one, it allows them some sort of input into the process. It may assuage them, and it may give them an opportunity, if they think that there's criminal culpability, to bring any evidence forward that they think lends towards one way or the other. So,
what I don't understand, Dr. Ron, is, while I have no doubt that it will assuage them in some way, they weren't on the scene. They weren't there. They have access to the same evidence that the rest of the public has been given, and that is the video and the statements of witnesses and so on and so forth. If they are not there, what possible evidence from a criminal standpoint, what possible evidence could they offer as to whether or not this officer was justified? They don't have any more knowledge about how that went down there than the rest of the public does.
Well, sure, Bob. You know, without talking about this case specifically, but just telling you why prosecutors might do something like that from, you know, believe me, I've been involved in well over 200 of these officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths.
Sure.
Just because a person was not there does not mean that they might not have something of evidentiary value to bring towards a case. Let me give you a great example. When we have an officer-involved shooting involving what we refer to as suicide by cop,
sure,
family members are very important to interview and you know, friends, family members of the decedent, because we conduct, I mean, if it's a good investigation, we conduct what's referred to as a psychological autopsy. And so just because people weren't there doesn't mean that they can't offer information and evidence as to a person's suicidality or lack thereof. Do you follow me?
I do, in a case like that. I do, in a case where somebody's right. psychological profile might have made them, like you said, you know, prone to commit an act of suicide by cop if they didn't want to do it themselves.
Correct.
Or if they
Correct.
Wanted to go out in a blaze of glory or whatever it is, yeah. But in a case like this, and I know you're speaking in generalities and I'm speaking specifically to this case, so there's a little difference there. Dr. Ron, I need to get a quick time out here. I want to come back with a few more questions for you if we can. Dr. Ron Martinelli is a forensic criminologist. And he will also take your phone calls if you've got questions, 216-901-0945. We've got him for a few more minutes this morning on AM 1420, The Answer.